I live music. Morning, noon, a whole night. Everything else is just icing on the cake, you dig?
So this is season 2, episode 2 of WIBs Only. And today we're going to talk about making friends as adults.
Yeah, the big task for us as we grow old
it's a huge is challenge, making friends.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first we'll start with the highlight.
Yep. Do you want to start with yours?
Okay, so I have a few questions.
Yep.
All right. So the first question is, in all low-income countries across the world today, how many girls finish primary school? 20%, 40%, or 60%?
I would say 20%.
Okay. In the last 20 years, so that's the second question, sorry. In the last 20 years, the proportion of the world population living in extreme poverty has A, almost doubled, B, remained more or less the same, and C, almost halved.
Almost halved.
Okay. The third question, what is the life expectancy of the world today? 50 years, 60 years, or 70 years?
50 years.
Okay. I have a lot more, like, but I'll just do a couple more and then I'll get to the point.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting them correct.
we'll see.
Okay.
Okay, how many people in the world have some access to electricity? 20%, 50%, or 80%?
Don't have electricity.
No, they do have electricity. How many people in the world have some access to electricity? 20%, 50%, 80%. Did you say 80%?
Yeah.
Okay. Worldwide, 30-year-old men have spent 10 years in school on average. How many years have women of the same age spent in school? 9 years, 6 years, or 3 years?
What? I was expecting more for women. But I'll say 9 years.
Okay. We'll end it there. Okay, so the first question, you said 20%.
Yeah.
In all low-income countries across the world today, how many girls finish primary school? And you said 20%.
Yeah.
The answer is 60%.
They finish?
Yes.
Okay.
The second question was, in the last 20 years, the proportion of the world population living in extreme poverty, you said, has almost halved.
Yeah.
Which is true. It has almost halved.
Yeah, that's... I know that it has decreased.
Yeah. And then, what is the life expectancy of the world today? You said 50 years?
Yeah.
It is actually 70 years.
Really?
Yes. How many people in the world have some access to electricity? What did you say your answer was?
80%.
80%. Yeah, that is true, actually.
That is true. That makes sense, yeah.
Worldwide, 30-year-old men have spent 10 years in school on average. How many years have women of the same age spent in school? Did you say 9 years?
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. Okay, so the point of all these questions is basically there's this set of 13 questions, and this is from a book called Factfulness, written by Hans Rosling. And so he has this set of 13 questions that he asks a lot of people. And if you do all 13 and if you compare it to the actual answers, there's a huge, so that you find that you can't really get a very high score on this quiz of 13 questions. And that's because we sort of see the world in a much worse condition than it really is.
Than it is, okay.
So we usually tend to go towards the more harsher answers. Yeah, negative answers. Like you said, the world expectancy today, you said 50 years, but it is actually 70 years.
Yeah, that was a bit shocking.
Yeah, and then the number of girls in low-income countries finishing primary school is actually 60%, where you actually produce 20%.
You said primary school?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said high school, but yeah, still, no. I wouldn't have changed. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So yeah, you got the other questions right, which is very good. So these are just 5 out of the 13. But yeah, what's interesting about his study is that he asked a lot of people, and he asked people from all walks of life. So students, medical professionals, lecturers, politicians. So he asked a wide variety of people, and there were a few interesting findings from his studies. So a group of Nobel laureates, they scored the worst.
Really?
And if you look at the overall test, overall results, if you compare that to random answers that a chimpanzee would choose, humans actually performed worse than what a chimpanzee would choose based on random answers.
Right.
Yeah, so it was quite an eye-opener, and I've just recently started this book. It seems very interesting, and
what's the book called? It's
called Factfulness. So it's basically, the book is about giving you a perspective of how much wrong we can be if we don't get our facts right, and how much our own judgments based on our worldview sort of cloud our perception of the world.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this thing called ZIF, the ZIF theory?
ZIF theory?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so I'll just quickly explain it. It's not my highlight, but it's called ZIF's law. ZIF's law. ZIPF. And it basically says anything of 80% is explained by the rest 20%. Like, there's this 80-20 rule which applies to literally everything in life. Everything around the world, everything in the world is explained by this 80-20 rule.
Okay.
So 80% of anything is decided by 20%. And
that's interesting.
I'm explaining it in a really, really bad way, but it is applicable to anything in life. Everything in this world that people have found out can be explained in the 80-20 rule.
Okay.
There's this really interesting video on YouTube. It's called ZIF's Law. ZIF's Law. Just type in ZIF's Law video. The ZIF's Law. And just look up the video. It's a very interesting. And so when you said about chimpanzees, right?
Yeah.
That reminded me of something. Okay, so the guy who was in the video explaining this, he said that if a chimpanzee randomly types words on a typewriter, even there, the 80-20 rule is applied. So it is everywhere in nature.
Okay. No, wait. How does the 80-20 rule work with a chimpanzee typing on a typewriter?
I don't remember how he explained it, but he correlated it. Yeah, check it out. It's a very interesting law. It can be found in languages, mathematics. It can be found in nature. Literally, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's very weird. Yeah, but it's an interesting video. Do check it out.
Right.
So that's one like fact. But okay. What was our okay? So I'll just be
your highlight.
Highlight. I watched this show quite a while ago, and it's one of the best food and travel show I have ever watched, and it's one of the best human shows I ever watched, where people talk to each other. And it's called Paths Unknown. Have you heard of it?
Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you heard of the show?
Yeah,
Anthony
Bourdain. Yeah.
It's such a nice show, man. I recently started watching it again. For some reason, I can't find the whole episodes. And it used to be on
Netflix. I think it was removed from Netflix, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it's removed. Yeah, it's removed now. But I think it was in Netflix like an year ago. There were around 10 seasons of it. And it's probably one of the best travel shows I've ever seen. If not the best travel show. The best travel show and food show. So it's basically about this guy, Anthony Bourdain. He recently died and he was a chef. But he changed over to like a food travel host, show host. And he used to travel to different places in the world. Just the random and most random places in the world to show people what that country or city is like and showing it in his own peculiar way. And very interesting show. And it discusses a lot about what is going around in our life and how things are like he traveled to Madagascar. I've never been to Madagascar, but when he was traveling to Madagascar, he was talking to people over there. And even though I don't relate anything to someone from Madagascar, when he was talking to them, they had the same problems that I had over there. So in a way, it's very connecting. You know what I mean? The show was And he made, I think, 13 seasons of it. And then he died, unfortunately, I think 1 or 2 years ago. Very, very nice show. I think it's one of the best reality shows I've ever seen and travel shows. I bet you, if you watch the first episode, you'll be like, I have to watch the rest of the show because the first episode is about Myanmar. And it was when he went there, that was the year Myanmar was open for people to come in. Before that, it was locked because of internal issues and stuff like that. But he was actually, I think, the first travel host that was able to go to Myanmar. And when I remember watching that episode, and I was hooked instantly. I was like, this is such an interesting way to show like a country. He talked to someone who actually lived in that city. He used to talk to people who actually were living in that city and who actually knew everything about the city. So when he interviewed and showed a country, he actually showed from a person's perspective who was there and who had lived through that place. And that's why you get to know about more about this place. Otherwise, in most talk show, TV, travel shows, a host goes to a place, shows a couple of cities, shows a couple of things, and then the show gets over. But he actually talks to people and gets to know them. And he even went to Palestine. He went into the just watch the show. He went to Palestine, he's been to Libya with the show, and he's been to some of the scary places around the world. And then he's also been to one of the high-flying places, like he's been to LA, and he took his show to Shanghai, which was a very interesting show. So I'm trying to find the entire show, like entire 13 seasons, but I can't seem to find it. I think they're available on Apple.
Buy from iTunes. I think
they're available for buy from iTunes. Because I can't find physical, if I could have found like physical discs, I would have bought that. Because it's such a nice show.
And I was actually looking for some good travel shows, because I mean, that's all the traveling that we can do right now.
Just stop and everything. And if you want to know about traveling and about eating in a different place, this is the show. This is the show. Unfortunate that you can't find it anywhere. Continue.
So the thing with food and travel shows is there's too much focus on the food in some of the shows that I've seen, whereas I want it to be more about travel and less about food. So how does Parts Unknown stand in that
race? I think it's about neither. I think it's more about the people.
Okay, even and better.
Yeah, it's more about people, and the stories and the episodes are around people, and then food and travel comes in. But okay, the main focus is the people who are living in those places and their stories. I'll finish my highlight with this saying. A friend reporter of Anthony Bourdain, he was talking to Anthony saying, "Oh, when I go to exotic places, I don't try the exotic food. I feel like I'm not experiencing a whole part of the place, and I'm robbing myself from that experience." So Anthony Bourdain says, that's very true. Because when somebody feeds you their food, they're actually telling you a story. And that story has been passed down generations and generations. So if you are rejecting that food, you're not, you're rejecting their story, and you will never get to know them. So that was a very interesting quote. I really realized how important food is in knowing a culture. So I'll find it for you. Just leave it to me. I'll somehow find it, and I'll give you the entire show.
Thank you.
But man, it is one of the best shows I've ever seen, and it is so sad that he. Do you know how he died?
He committed suicide, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, he committed suicide in France. He was actually filming a TV episode when he committed suicide. He had his personal troubles as well. Like he had addiction problems, not that he had currently, but he had in the past. And he also had issues with mental depression and stuff like that. So he had his troubles, but he was such an amazing person. And I wish I would have met him and just talked to him. I actually ordered his book as well. But yeah, it's called Parts Unknown by Anthony Bourdain. It's probably one of the most famous travel shows of all time. And he even comes to India. He travels in Punjab and Himachal.
Okay.
Yeah, he travels that part. So it's a very interesting show. Anyways, let's start with making friends as adults.
Okay.
I think this is one thing that is easier when we were kids.
Exactly what I was going to say.
One of those things that was easier when we were kids.
Exactly. And it's something like if when you're a kid, you can just walk up to anyone and be like, "Hey, do you want to play with me?" And basically you can be friends from there on.
I haven't even said, "Do you want to play with me?" I'm literally swinging, I'm playing in this among the swings, and someone comes next to me, and then we start playing together without even saying hi, without even saying, "What's your name?" We just start playing together.
Yeah.
That's how it was.
Now if you walk up to someone at this age, if you walk up to someone and be like, "Hey, do you want to play with me?" You'll probably end up in handcuffs, and not the handcuffs that you like, because I mean, with your pervert of a face, you'd probably end up in behind bars.
You're personally pinpointing me with my pervy face.
Yeah, I was giving you an example.
Okay.
And our listeners an example.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was definitely much easier when we were young. So now, I mean, you've moved from away from your family, and now you're like completely alone. Earlier, you used to live with your sister and your cousin. But now you've moved to a completely new place all by yourself. So how are you sort of coping with that and sort of making friends?
It's difficult, man. I'll be honest, I'm an introvert. I'm not the kind of introvert where if I'm in a social place, I will be awkward and I won't talk to anybody. I'm not like that, but I'm still an introvert. It takes me time to open up to people and it takes me time to actually. So in that way, it's difficult for me to make new friends, to have social bonding and stuff like that.
Mm.
And for me, basically, I never push for a friendship. I want it to happen naturally. Because there have been times when I remember when I have like, okay, let's try to be friends with that guy. And I have I've tried to act in a certain way and it has just failed miserably for me. I remember in boarding school, when I first started boarding school, I remember in seventh or eighth grade, I tried to be friends with someone and they were just weirded out because I was acting in a very unnatural way. Like I was just saying shit that they wanted to hear and they caught on to it.
Right.
So I have realized that doesn't work for me. I can't just force a friendship. You have to let it just become grow naturally.
Mm.
And like, especially for an introvert, that you have to let it happen naturally is difficult because you are an introvert. You shy away from social bonding and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like, you remember how we became friends?
Yeah. Like accounting.
Accounting, but we literally just it didn't feel like when we first met and when we first hung out that dinner when we went to that Indian restaurant to Himalayan, I didn't think that I will have to hang out with him every day. Like I have to now become best friends with him. No, I was like, okay, we're having fun right now and tomorrow maybe we won't meet, but that's fine.
Yeah,
I think you can't force a friendship. That's what I want to say.
Mm.
Yeah. How's it been with you? Because it's much easier for you. You have like you're studying in university, and you're around people who are going through like the same thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think I'm kind of the same as you as well. Like I am sort of introverted. It for me if I'm with a group of people, it takes a lot of time for me to show my true self.
Yeah.
I mean, if I meet someone new and we're just talking or something, I always have this, I don't know, you can call it a shield or a wall sort of thing.
I can tell, yeah. Like I think you're less of an introvert than me, but you are also very, hands up. You act in a certain way until you are completely comfortable with the person.
Yeah. Like, but I get really, yeah. I protect, a lot of my, I don't know what's the real right word, but like, I don't spill my beans easily.
Mm.
It takes me a while to get out of the shell. So it's been difficult for me as well. And obviously because of the virus and everything, there wasn't much of social life at campus after the initial orientation and stuff. So obviously that is a major factor. But then even if I look at the possibilities in spite of the virus, I don't think I have made as many friends that I would like. I mean, I've always preached for the saying that it's quality over quantity. And even if I look at my life back in India or even in Sydney, it's always been like that. Like I don't have a ton of friends, but then the friends that I have, they're like, I have actual connections with them.
Same dude. Like,
but that ever since
high school with me, same.
Yeah, but that is something that I wanted to change, not change, but like work on a little bit, because if you think about it, now that you're living in a new place but all by yourself, obviously you want people around and you want connections to help you professionally as well as personally.
Mm.
So it's not just about hanging out, but then you know how the saying goes that it's all about the people you know.
Yeah.
So networking obviously is important, especially now that you're starting to build your career and then eventually build your entire life in a new place. So that is something that I wanted to work on right from my first semester and like just network all that I could. But yes, yep. It has been a bumpy ride. In the beginning, it was quite joyful, I would say, just being open and just going and saying hi to everyone that I met. It seemed good. It felt good. But then I think, like you said, I sort of realized that I was forcing it a little bit and it wasn't coming naturally. And then I think after that, I went way too deep in my shell. And yeah, it's been a crazy ride. Yeah. So like you said, you wish that you met Anthony Bourdain once. So the thing is now, if you meet, let's say you're just hanging out at a coffee shop or somewhere, and if you find a person interesting in any way and you just want to say hi and get to know them, what would you do? I mean, you just go up and say hi and then what? Like, let's say if you were walking down the street and maybe you saw Anthony somewhere, what would you do?
Like,
I mean, because you are a huge fan, so obviously you might just go and say that you are a huge fan. But I'm then a huge fan, how would how would you maybe sort of keep the conversation going and then maybe end on a note that you want to be connected in the sense that, like you said, like it's not about hanging out every day, but like just being connected, you know.
Let's remove Anthony Bourdain from this situation.
Exactly. So let's sort of do a simulation sort of thing. Like, let's say we just... Like the two of us, let's say you're walking around somewhere. Maybe you're in a coffee shop and I am there as well. And maybe you want to strike up a conversation. What do you say?
Damn, dude. But I've never approached someone ever in my life. Like, shit, man. You're putting me in an odd position because... I'll be very honest, I've never approached someone saying that, like to strike up a conversation. Fuck, man.
I've never done that.
Yeah, have you done that? I feel like you have done that with me, dude.
I mean, when I am feeling particularly bold, I might, and I have done it in the past, but obviously it doesn't come as naturally as I would like it to. But yeah, I feel it's from what I've seen, like from what I've observed, it's sort of if you find someone that you want to start up a conversation with, the best thing is... So it's either two things. Either you just go and introduce yourself for no rhyme or reason, and the other person probably thinks that you are a creep, or they might think that you are an interesting person as well, and then maybe you'll be friends. Or the second thing is you say something witty. And if they're probably... if they like your sense of humor, then you'll probably end up being friends. But then coming up with something witty on the spot is not always easy.
Yeah. I'm bad at approaching people, man. I'll be honest. Yeah. I'll be very honest. Like, you know, when there's this moment when you see a person and you notice that they're also noticing you. And then that's when I'm comfortable. Like, if a person approaches me, I'm totally cool with it. I'm super welcoming, okay? If someone comes up to me and says, hey, what's up? And this and that. And I'm like, I'm totally chill. If there's a mutual where we both notice each other and then we're like, what's up? That's okay. But I I've never gone out of my way and said, hey, what's up? And the person doesn't, like, he has, I've never approached him and he doesn't notice me. That's, I've never done that.
Yeah. Okay, so is it the fear of being...
Mostly, yes.
Judged. Rejected.
Yeah.
Rejected judged or rejected. Judged. Yeah.
Both, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that is one of the factors for me as well. Like, I don't know, I'm sort of scared of being taken in the wrong way. And maybe just saying the wrong stuff. Like, what if I just go up there, say hi, and then blurt up something completely...
completely inappropriate and stupid.
Yeah, yeah. And make a fool out of myself. Yeah, that is something definitely that holds me back at times. But yeah, what would you... I mean, how would you sort of try to overcome this issue?
You know what? You just have to face it. There's no going around it. Like, you can't... If there's a wall, there's no trick about going through the wall. You have to face the wall and then just break through it. At the end of the day, it's a mental barrier. You have to face it and you have to break that mental barrier.
Right.
There's no trick, Ravi. There's no trick. It's just you internally. I think to be socially comfortable with other people, you have to be comfortable with yourself.
Hmm.
Even though we are, like, I am.
Yeah, but... I mean, I've heard that a lot many places, that first you need to be comfortable with yourself. But I sort of never feel that I am uncomfortable with myself.
Neither do I. But, like, you get what I say? Like, you have to be... It's a mental barrier, dude. You need to face it. And nobody's going to help you. You have to break it yourself. So in that way, you need to prepare yourself. I wish I had some trick to tell you, but and this is just my opinion. You have to face it, dude. If there's a mental barrier that you have about meeting other people, then just fucking go out and meet other people. There's no workaround, I think.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion. It is very difficult, trust me.
Okay, how important... So now, because you're not going to uni anymore, and you are in a completely new city, and it's almost been 1 year for you, so you probably are a good person to sort of judge the importance of making connections.
Yeah.
So how important do you think it is?
I think... See, when you are living completely alone, you have to be self-reliant. You can't depend on anyone. But at the same time, you want social interaction. Because humans are not... We are not individualistic animals. We thrive in society, like in social groups. We thrive in them. So in that way, you need to be having social interaction with other people. And but at the same time, you can't rely too much on your social gatherings, I think. Because the minute those bonds break, then it might affect you in a much more negative way. So you need to be self-reliant at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, there needs to be a good balance of it. If you have got like a partner with you, or if you've got like, I don't know, a brother living with you or sister, that's a completely different thing. That, or a friend, that's a completely different thing. Like, you can have that company, that bond of someone really close to you, and it makes life much easier. But if you're living completely alone, then be self-reliant, enjoy yourself being alone. Like, be comfortable. Don't think just because you're alone and lonely, it's kind of a sad thing. It's fine if you're lonely, if you're alone, but at the same time, you need to realize you have to have social interaction, some sort of, or because humans without social interaction leads to a lot of problems. A lot of problems.
Yeah.
So that's why friendships are important.
Right. So you said you need to be comfortable being alone. Yeah. Okay, so have you ever had a meal at a restaurant all by yourself?
Yeah, a lot of times. A lot of times. I've been to movies alone. That's
yeah, normal. Same. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy movies alone. Absolutely. Huh. I go to a theater alone. That's, I love it. I remember the last movie that I went to watch in the theater was 1917. Have you heard of it? It came out this year, last year. It's a World War One movie, and I went to watch it alone. And it was fun. I went, late night show, and it was just fun. I just sat there all by myself, and my whole focus was on the movie, just on the movie.
Hmm.
So it's, I enjoy watching movies. It's an underrated feeling, I think.
Yeah.
Watching movies by yourself.
Watching movies by yourself and then eating out by yourself, I think it was something that I found very weird before I moved to Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
But after like being in Sydney for a while, I sort of realized that it is actually a good thing. Just taking yourself out on a date, it is actually a really good thing. And yeah, I think that's where I sort of did all those things for the first time by myself. And like ever it's felt completely natural.
Eating out by yourself or going having a drink by yourself, I think it takes time to get comfortable with, I'll be honest. But yeah, if you go out, trust me, you'll have fun. You can just be by yourself, order whatever you want. And just nobody's going to force you to like have a conversation with. You can just be yourself.
What do you do when you're going out, like when you go out to eat by yourself, what do you do? Are you like always on your phone?
Nah, in the start, but then I'm not. I'm just then eating and just thinking, having my own thoughts. Like I think I went to a cafe, I think a week ago, Saturday or the Saturday before. I just went out and I went to a cafe, had my burger, had a milkshake, and yeah, I was just chilling. It was fun.
No, but then, what do you do? Like you eat your food, and then while you're chewing it, where do you look?
Just I look straight, but my thoughts are someplace else.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking about you.
Right.
No, yeah, but yeah, it's fun just sometimes being by yourself.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What are some easy way according to you to make friends as your age? Someone in your age, yeah.
I think, like I said earlier, the easiest one I think is just being funny. Like just say something funny and then getting drunk is
alcohol helps. Ease up.
Having a couple of drinks inside me definitely opens me up a lot quicker. So I think this was during orientation here like a few months ago, and we were sitting in a pop-up bar, and I had quite a few drinks. So I was a bit tipsy, and then this huge group turns up on the next table, and there's like literally no interaction amongst us, and then for no rhyme or reason I go up and I go to that table and I'm just like introducing myself to everyone, and we were talking and laughing for a while before I joined my friends again, and then we went off. And the next day I didn't even remember their faces or their names. But yeah, so that's something that I wouldn't have done if I hadn't had those drinks.
Yeah, true.
So it definitely helps, at least in my case, it opens me up a lot quicker.
It eases you a bit.
Yeah, because I mean, otherwise I'm always like in this shell and like I don't know what secret I'm trying to protect or whatever it is. What is it? I can't open up easily.
True.
But, so much for preaching alcohol by alcoholic path.
But I'll tell you what, relying on alcohol to get ease, like to be comfortable, is also not good.
Yeah.
Because then the only way you relax in social gatherings is through alcohol, and then it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you need to have alcohol to actually be social. I've heard this becomes a problem then.
Right. What about, like, social media? Do you make new friends on social media?
No.
Or dating apps?
Nah. I don't like social media for making friends. I like social media for interacting with the ones that I have, the friends.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and even with social media, I just use Instagram, like, to interact, because I hardly use Facebook, and I use like chats and messengers, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I don't socialize. I don't do social media a lot now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember when was the last time I posted on Instagram. I think it's been more than a year.
Right.
Do you make friends on social media?
Again, same as you, not new friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, use it to stay in touch.
Stay in touch with the ones that you... So what do you think what are some easy ways to make friends for people in the same age group? I think I asked this question earlier, but it wasn't answered.
Yes, I was saying about being funny, and then you brought in alcohol.
Oh, okay, alcohol. Fuck me. Okay.
Yeah. I think the other way is maybe joining some sort of clubs or societies, like, especially if, in my case, like if I'm at uni, I can obviously join some club, go to some meeting or whatever, and then strike up a conversation with someone.
True. Another, if the easiest way, I think, is if you follow any team or a sport, that's one of the easiest way to get into a social, a group of friends or have a social circle. Like, if you follow same team or you follow a sport.
How do you find the people following the same sport?
See, that's where you have to go out. You have to, like, look up your, look up a bar where they show football matches, and just go there one day and you'll find, there are some people who follow the same team as you.
Okay,
same
club as you. Okay, so obviously right now we're following Formula One. So let's say you find a bar. Let's say you find a bar that is showing tonight's race, and you decide to go there, and then you find you're ordering your drink, and you hear this group of people who are sort of supporting or rooting for Max Verstappen.
Okay.
So how would you get into that circle? So you are ordering your drink. You can hear them talking about Max and the whole group. There's like four or five people, and they are supporting him. So how would you sort of, and you are by yourself, okay? So how would you?
Yeah. I think this is how it will play out. This is how it's playing it out on my mind. Okay, I'll order a drink. I'll have a couple. I'll have one or two drinks. Okay, and I will slowly sit around them, like either behind them or in front of them or next to them, and once the race starts, we'll be reacting to the same things, and without even you noticing, you will start interacting.
Okay, so now let's say you said that you'll have like a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
And then maybe slowly and steadily, you sort of move a bit closer to them bit by bit. So do you maybe sort of sometimes feel that the moment has passed? Like maybe you are in a situation where you sort of feel like, okay, if I say hi now, it's going to be really weird because I've been sitting here all this while and we haven't spoken yet. So now, after all the time has passed, now it's going to be much more awkward. Do you ever feel that?
I get what you're trying to say, yeah. Like sometimes when I used to sit in tutorials,
yeah,
and
yeah, like let's say you've been going to the same tutorial for like a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, yeah. And then in the fifth tutorial, you're sort of maybe thinking hi to this cute girl sitting next to you, but then
yeah,
suddenly you are like, oh damn, it's yeah, it's been like 3 or 4 now. Tutorials, yeah, and we haven't said hi yet, so is it going to be awkward now?
I can see, I might think that, yeah,
yeah.
But if I approach it in the right way, I don't think it will be awkward. But it will bother me.
What is the right way?
Man, it depends on the situation, honestly. I think the best way, if we talk about the tutor thing, is if you don't get anything, maybe ask them, hey, did you understand that? I couldn't make that out. And maybe they'll... And you know what? That is the one sentence. The first sentence needs to be spoken, and then the rest of the stuff just goes smoothly. It's the same with so, I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. You say.
So this has happened with me that I have maybe sometimes asked for help on not necessarily in tutorials, but like in random places. Like I might have asked for help. And maybe the other person has, in fact, helped me. But then, it sort of ends there. Like, it doesn't go anywhere. Like, if you ask a question, they answer it, and then that's the end.
I can see where you're coming from, yeah. It can happen that way. More often or not, that will happen.
Yeah, that is what happens. But then, yeah, so how do you, in that situation, how do you maybe sort of... keep the conversation going.
I think you just need to speak like okay, he or she helped you, and you're like, thanks for that, and then you just keep on doing, and then just strike up, just ask again, hey, did you get that? Or you need to because that's what I'm saying, the first sentence needs to be spoken, and once that it breaks through, then you get much more comfortable. I won't shy away with the next time I speak to that person.
Right.
It's much more easier if the other person speaks to me.
If
the other person approaches me, for me, obviously. Like yeah, I remember this one time.
But like...
I was sitting in a tutorial. Or U-Pass. Yeah. I was sitting in a U-Pass. And I was sitting next to a girl, and it was an IT-related U-Pass. And I was doing something, and then she asked me a question. And I was like, oh, no, it's not that, it's that. And I explained to her something for like a minute, and then... And literally, we talked during that tutorial. Like, we were just talking then. And then she told me where she was from. And then I started discussing. I remember she was from France. And then I randomly told that, I've seen this recently. I watched this French movie. And it just happens then.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have made a few connections like that, where you just say hi and then it just flows.
We made the connection like that, I think.
Yeah, but in some cases it's like you ask someone something and then they answer it, and then it gets awkward after that. Like you don't know what to say next, and there's this awkward silence, and then you just ignore the other person and then carry on doing your own thing. But I think maybe that's part of letting it happen naturally. Like if it happens, it happens. Yeah. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
There have been many times where I thought that, That was an all right interaction. Maybe the next time I see them, I'll be more social with them. But I say, like, I'll I'll say hi to them and then they ignore me. And I'm like, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I'm... Yeah. Do you sort of maybe ever feel that you wish you knew what the other person is thinking about you? Like, if you meet someone new, you say hi. Do you sort of wish that you could sort of read their mind?
I wish I could read minds.
Yeah.
That would be so fun. I once... I think we were discussing this. Me and my cousin were discussing if we could read minds. And she was like, I don't want to. Because people are sick. And people have sick thoughts about other people. And she doesn't want to have that burden of someone like thinking about something sick about other person. But I would love to read thoughts. I'll be like, that's like such a super amazing superpower to read thoughts.
Yeah, same. I think it would be amazing.
And
So do you maybe think that if you learned how to read, so obviously you can read body language. You can't read minds, but you can read body language. So do you maybe sort of think that if you learned to read body language, it would be easier to make friends?
Definitely.
Or do you sort of maybe feel that do you feel that maybe if you start, so obviously there's this thing like if you start analyzing a person or their body language on the spot, there are certain cues in your body language as well. Do you think it'll be easier to make friends like that, or do you maybe sort of feel that they would sort of figure out that something's fishy?
Dude, that's a weird question. I don't know. Honestly, I can't answer for that. But I think if you can read, if you can like know how people react to certain things, it you are much more comfortable socially.
Right.
What about small talks? Do you like small talks?
Not a big fan.
Yeah, I hate small talks as well.
I always end up either talking about the weather or just asking how you are, and then it gets really awkward after that because I don't have a lot of things to say.
Yeah.
So like with me, I don't talk way too much. Like I don't know, it's difficult.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of small talks as well. Why are we having this talk, you know? Yeah. But I get the point. It's needed to have some sort of interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also believe friendships that are made later in life, they are like that's a really underrated relationship. Like, imagine you are like 25, 28 year old and you meet another guy at some bar and then you start talking. Like, for me, I don't think you will be best friends with that guy, that you have to hang out with him every time. But whenever you hang out, you might have fun with the guy. It's a really... Yeah. You don't have to be constantly in touch, but whenever you see them, you'll be like cool friends. It's a very underrated... I don't know. I don't think I'm explaining it correctly, but I think friendships that are made much later in life are different because you both respect each other's boundaries, because you know you both have been through so much in life that you respect. I don't have to push to get into his boundary, or he won't be coming into my space. When you're young, there are no boundaries.
Yeah.
Like when you are 7th or 8th grade, you just hang out all the time.
Yeah.
And you speak whatever you want to. But as you grow old, you become very conscious about what you speak. And if you make friends at that time, I think it's much more, how do I say, I want to say different. It definitely is different, but... It's, I don't know, yeah, but I'm not saying it correctly, but it's a nice friendship.
No, so I have a follow-up question that might sort of lead you to clarify what you're trying to say right now. So you know how people usually say that the friendships that you make when you are young, like when you're in school, they are sort of lifelong friendships and they are sort of much more organic, whereas the friendships that you make as adults, they're sort of calculated and for benefits. Like you sort of know that a certain person might be useful for you somewhere down your career or somewhere down your life, and then maybe because of that reason you sort of try to stick around and then form a connection of sorts. So what do you feel about that?
I think that's fine. If you are with a person just because you want to gain something from them, at the end of the day, if you're nice and polite, it's not a bad thing, because at the same time they are also there with you because they might be needing something in return.
Okay.
So it's fine if the friendship is literally a give and take, and the friendship ends once the transaction gets over. Fine, I get that. It should be fine as long as you both are respectful and you both are polite to each other. I don't mind it. I actually think that's a good way to have a relationship, like a friendship. But I much rather prefer a lifelong friend, like someone you can talk to about anything. I much rather prefer that.
Okay, so as adults, like when you're a child, it is obviously much easier to form that sort of bond. But as adults, how do you sort of maybe judge that whether a particular person is there for a particular benefit or they're actually worth being lifelong friends with?
I think when we are kids, we are really forgiving. If somebody does something bad to you, you'll be angry for a month, and then you will be back like talking, and then 3 months later you're best friends again. But as we grow adults, we become much less forgiving. So if a person make mistakes, and if he breaks the trust or he disappoints you, you'll immediately back out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a good way to know if somebody is out there just to take benefit from you, I think some situation might come up and you'll realize it. A situation might come up where you realize, oh no, he's just here because he is, he wants something from me.
Yeah, but that's the thing, you know, like it's not always black and white. What if you sort of feel that maybe they are there for some benefit, but then how do you sort of judge how genuine they really are? Like, how do you maybe confirm your hunch?
I think one way is if they go above and beyond for something, it's usually a good sign that they care about you as a person.
Okay.
But not always, man. There can be instances where
they go above and beyond just to please you and take advantage of you down the line.
Or they go above and beyond because they have to, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky... The question you're putting up is a very tricky question, because it depends on person to person, honestly.
Yeah.
Dude, you are putting me in a very awkward spot this whole...
See, that's generally how us introverts feel. We feel awkward.
Yeah. But I feel awkward because I don't know the answers. Not because I'm scared to tell or shying on telling my answer. I just...
Yeah.
Yeah, after a certain point, I just don't know the answer. Yeah. So...
Okay, you are running out of answers. I am running out of questions. So maybe we should end the episode here.
True.
Music credits.
Yep. So, please give it a listen to the music of the creator of this amazing music that you listen to, that you listen to when you listen to a podcast. He's called a moderator, and you can find him on YouTube. You can find him on Bandcamp, and you can also find him on his own website, moderatormusic.com.
Yep. And I don't know what to say about this episode, but yeah, there were a lot of
I can't do it.
But yeah, so thank you for listening. Hope it wasn't boring. And yeah, we'll see you in the next episode.
Sure, bye.
Bye-bye.